This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank you for joining me once again on the Pastor's Study. Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study of Psalm 119. Today's study is entitled, My Comfort in My Affliction. And we're going to look together in Psalm 119 and verses 49 through 56. So let's turn together to the Word of God, Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. The fact that we are trying to live right is no guarantee that afflictions will never knock at your door or my door. God lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. There are some things that happen to everyone, whether they be saved or lost. Bad things happen to good people, amen. Just consider the afflictions of the Apostle Paul. It is characteristic of God to allow affliction in the lives of his children that drive them to his word. Looking in verse 75 of Psalm 119, the psalmist wrote, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. You see, God is seeking to prove that his word is sufficient help in our times of trial. Nothing justifies theory better than experience. Amen. For example, the theory of electricity is justified when you stick your finger in a light socket. Amen. The word of God is a source of comfort in affliction, since God's word can make us holy. There is enough in it to make us calm in any condition. The word comfort is found twice in the seventh stanza of the 119th Psalm, both in verse 50 and 52. The word means to breathe deeply. In other words, I breathe a sigh of relief. God's word brought a sigh of relief to the psalmist. Now, in our study today is broken down into four main points. The first one is his appeal in suffering. We'll cover that in verses 49 to 51. The second one is main point, his answer of solace. We'll look at that in verses 50 and 52. The third main point, his alarm over sin, in verse 53. And then finally, the fourth and final point we'll look at is his alleviation in singing, verses 54 to 56. So the first main point is his appeal in suffering, verses 49 to 51. We read, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from the law. Now, in his affliction, the psalmist reminds God of his promise. In other words, he's saying, remember your promise? It's not because God has forgotten his promise. God wants us to remind him of his promises as evidence that we haven't forgotten them and we're still trusting them. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 43 for a moment in verse 26. Isaiah 43 and verse 26, Isaiah wrote, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." Put me in remembrance. See, God wants us to remind him of his promises, amen? And to show him that we haven't forgotten him, that we're still trusting in him, amen? And that's what Isaiah wrote here in verse 26. Put me in remembrance. In other words, let me remember, Lord, your promises. Some illustration of this is found, first of all, in Nehemiah's prayer. Is found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me. Nehemiah chapter 1. In Nehemiah chapter 1, in verses 8 and 9. In Nehemiah's prayer, he said, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out in the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from hence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there." So we see an illustration of that. Remember, I beseech thee, Nehemiah prayed, amen? And then we see also an illustration of that in Jacob's prayer in Genesis chapter 32. Turn to Genesis chapter 32 with me, in verse number 12. "And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." Again, Jacob is reminding God of his promise to make Israel as the children of Israel in number as the sand of the sea. Amen. Now, under our first point, his appeal and suffering, first we want to see hope in affliction. God's word is a promise that causes us to hope. Again, verse 49 of Psalm 119, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." No word from God, no hope. We read in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant." We see that God promised in his word, his people Israel, a piece of real estate, as he promised there to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. God promised David a son to sit on his throne. We see that accomplished, amen, in Solomon, and then in the future, the Lord Jesus Christ. God promised Solomon a temple, amen. And that promises, all these promises have either been kept or going to be kept in the future. God promises in his word causes us to hope when times of trouble come our way. Look with me, if you would, first in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse temptation. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, which has to do with temptation. The word of God says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So here we see, in a time of trial, trial and tribulation, temptation, amen, God has promised that the temptation is not just common, is in particular to you or I, but all men have experienced this temptation in one form or the other, amen. But he's also said, with that temptation, God's faithful. He will not suffer you, allow you to be tempted above that you are able. And with the temptation, he's going to show you a way to escape, how to get out of that temptation. What a blessed promise in a time of trial. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 with me. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, we read, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. What a precious promise to go to in the Word of God, amen, when you're going through a trial. Now, the word hope implies a waiting period between the giving of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. Let's turn to the prophet Habakkuk for just a moment. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk number 2 with me, if you would. In Habakkuk number 2, chapter 2, we want to look at, as we turn there, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. "And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." Habakkuk here is told by God to write the vision down that he saw, and that it was going to happen in the future. In other words, this vision that was promised, this thing that was going to come to pass, there was a waiting period, amen, between when it was told, the hope of it, to when it would come to pass. Look in Isaiah chapter 30 with me. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And we want to look at verse 18 together in Isaiah chapter 30. "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." Again, showing in this verse where the word hope applies a waiting period between the giving of the promise of God and the fulfillment of that promise. Again, we're still under our main point number one, his appeal in suffering. We looked at the hope in affliction. Now we want to look at help and aggravation. Help and aggravation. Verse 51, Psalm 119. "The proud have had me greatly in diversion, yet have I not declined from thy law." Let's compare this with verse 61 in Psalm 119. "The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law." And then also verse 157 in Psalm 119. "Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies." So here we see help in aggravation. Amen. Proud men have only contempt for godly men. Their ridicule is only a veil for their fear. Let's look in Samuel, 2 Samuel for a moment on this point. 2 Samuel with me in chapter number 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, if you would. And we want to look at verses 22. "Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of vain fellow shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father, and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the man maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." So here we see the daughter of Saul criticizing the joy that David had, that he displayed before the Lord as they brought the Ark of the Covenant back, amen. And she ridiculed him, amen. And then, of course, we see her demise in verse 23, that therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children under the day of her death. See, remaining steadfast in God's word baffles the proud. They can't understand it. Those that ridicule you and I who live for the Lord, amen, cannot understand how we remain steadfast in God's word. It just baffles them. How we're able to go on when we're ridiculed and we're aggravated, amen. Now let's move on to the second main point of our study. His answer of solace. His answer of solace. Look, let's go back to Psalm 119 for a moment and look at verses 50 and 52. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse 52, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. The word of God comforted him. Amen. Was his solace, is what he's saying. The scripture, you see, was written for our hope and comfort. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 15 of Romans in verse 4, and he says this, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience in comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You see that? Comfort and hope. That's why things were written aforetime. That's why, even though things in the Old Testament don't apply doctrinally to us today, we still can get comfort and hope from them. Amen? Now, we want to look at three things under his answer of solace. Number one, this is my comfort. This is my comfort. The word of God, he says in verse 50, we just read. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The word of God was his comfort. Let me ask you, my friend, what is your comfort? Is it your bank account? Is it your friends or your job or your drugs or your family or whatever it may be? My friend, if you're going to survive in this life, it has to be the word of God. The second thing, he comforted himself. Verse 52, we read, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. He comforted himself with the word of God. And the fact of God's nature, God doesn't change. God's judgments of old comfort and encourage us, for he is still the same. Time does not affect God. Praise the Lord for that. He doesn't need a new promise. Amen. That's what the psalmist says. He doesn't need a new promise from God. He just trusts the old ones that God has already promised. Amen. That's what keeps him going. That's what gives him solace. Amen. Now, we want to look at our third main point, his alarm over sin, verse 53. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. See, he is more provoked over the wickedness and apostasy of men than at the diversion they bring to him. Amen. See, he's more concerned with that. He can handle the ridicule that men bring and the things they say against him, so forth and so on. But he's more provoked over the wickedness and apostasy of men. The first thing under his alarm over sin we want to see, sin is horrible in the eyes of all that are sanctified. See, he says, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake the law. Amen. So we see that it is horrible in his sight, those that have been separated by God for his work. Amen. Look in Lamentations also. We know the prophet Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations, which follows his book, Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51 we read, he says, Jeremiah writes, mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city, because of all the wickedness. He was known as the weeping prophet. He wept over the spiritual condition of Israel and how wicked it had become. Amen. If you take a look, my friend, at the world around you, it's enough to scare an honest person half to death. Is it not? All the wickedness is going on. Amen. All the wickedness. And what do we have to, I believe it has, a lot of it has to do with the media. Amen. Television, magazines, newspapers, the internet, and so forth and so on. If you really look around, if you look around, take a good look at the world, just see how wicked it really has become. And it should upset you. If you're a born-again child of God, amen. If you've been separated, if you've come out from the world and are truly living for God, it should affect you, amen. It should horrify you, just as it horrified the psalmist here in Psalm 119. Now, the second point we want to see, his alarm over sin, is an illustration, is Paul's spirit, amen. Apostle Paul, his spirit was stirred with him, within him, when he saw Athens wholly given to idolatry. For that, we have to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, chapter 17 with me. In Acts, chapter 17, in verse number 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, and of course he was waiting for Silas and Timotheus, now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So Paul's waiting for Timothy and Silas to come, and he surveys the city and the people, and he sees that that whole city, that whole people of Athens, have been wholly given over to idolatry, worshiping false idols other than the true God. It affected him. It stirred his spirit within him. It made him even that more earnest in preaching the gospel, amen, I believe. How do you feel about certain things that are going on? This partial birth abortion, amen? Just abortions being allowed, period, in this country, amen? The proliferation of drugs, amen? Both illegal and over-the-counter prescription drugs. How about the so-called, they call it the gay movement, but it's nothing gay about it. It's the perverted movement. And this great thing about the same-sex marriages. Amen. And you see it coming more and more, being promoted, this perverted movement, this same-sex marriage, amen, thing, on television, radio. It's being promoted more and more and more. It's no longer call it a perversion, but it's called an alternative lifestyle now. It's promoted. And now states are trying to the government's interfering now. Trying to say, okay, they're going to sanction same-sex marriages. Amen. People need to read the Bible, amen. If they would just follow the way God set things out to be, then things would be okay. Things would turn out all right, amen. Praise the Lord. But when you deviate from the Word of God and the way God has set up things, that's when you get into trouble, amen. That's when trouble begins, amen. Let's look at our fourth point, main point in our study. His alleviation in singing. His alleviation in singing. Going back to Psalm 119, verses 54 through 56. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. You know, real happiness for a believer is in the fact that he is a pilgrim. Amen. The Bible says we're pilgrims, we're sojourners here, we're strangers in this world, because this world is not our home, as the hymn says. We're just a passing through. Our home is somewhere up beyond the blue, is it not, my friend? The real happiness for a believer is in the fact that he is a pilgrim. That's what the psalmist said in verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. No matter what circumstance I am in, I know that this isn't it. This isn't my home. Heaven is my home. If you're a Christian, if you're born again, you're a child of God, this is not your home. Amen. Heaven is your home and my home. Someday we're going to live together for eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and that city of New Jerusalem, where there'll be no need of light, artificial lighting anymore, because the Lamb of God will be there and he will light the place up. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. The Christian that doesn't see himself as a pilgrim will always be troubled by trials and circumstances. And why is that? It's because your eyes, you're not setting your affections on the things above, where to God, where the Son is seated at his right hand. Your eyes are looking downward. You're considering this your home. Because when you look up and you look forward to being in heaven for eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and the brethren, the saints of God, that should get you to shout. That should get you to forget all your trials and your circumstances. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And in the meantime, while we're here, God's word supplies me and you with songs in the night. Does he not? Look at what Job said in Job chapter 35. In Job chapter 35, in verse number 10, he said, "But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night? But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night?" There's a man, Job, that certainly went through a whole heck of a lot, and he could say that God gives him songs in the night. Amen. Look at in Psalm 33. Psalm 33 with me, if you would. In Psalm 33, in verse number 3 with me as we turn there. Psalm 33, verse 3. We read, "Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice." Amen. Psalm 40, verse 3. All these are talking about the songs that the Lord gives us. Amen. Psalm 40. Verse 3, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Amen. When we sing and we praise God in trials and tribulations, and the unsaved will turn to him and trust in him. Amen. And then in Psalm 42, verse 8, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, in my prayer unto the God of my life." Praise the Lord for that. He gives us songs to sing. He fills our hearts with joy. Amen. In times of tribulation. Amen. He alleviates our pain. Amen. The trials cause us by giving us songs in the night. Probably one of the greatest illustrations is when Paul and Silas were put in that Philippian jail. Remember in Acts chapter 16, if you'll turn with me to there, Acts chapter 16, and we're just about done. In verse 25, they didn't throw a pity party. They didn't say, "God has forgotten us." What did they do? "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And that place was shaken literally, and all the doors were opened. And that Philippian jailer got saved and his household." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when we sing in trial and tribulation, God can use it for his good, for people to be saved. Praise the Lord for that. He said in conclusion, the psalmist wrote, This I had, these songs in the night. Why? Because I kept thy precepts. So we end with this. He said, "This I had, this hope. This I had, this help in diversion. This I had, this comfort in my affliction. This I had, this song in my pilgrimage. This I had because I kept thy precepts. If I had not kept thy precepts," the psalmist says, "I would not have had these things." Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri thanking each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study today. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.